to be here to take over when we finish.
Start on time, start on time, that's great.
Good morning, this is the Planning and Development Real Estate Committee for December 8th, and we have one agenda item. The item is the bus facility system infrastructure. Are there any changes to the agenda? Hearing none? Those gentlemen are at the coffee pot. Give you a second here. Okay. Hearing no changes to the agenda, is there a motion to approve the minutes from the November 20th meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion? Hearing none? Hearing none? All those in favor of the minutes from November 20th?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, thank you, minutes are approved. The first item is the bus facility one, system infrastructure rehabilitation, and this is a information item on future...
Action?
Future action and on the renovation infrastructure.
Mr. Hutchins, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I just want to indicate that in June, Mr. Couch came forward with a proposal for redoing the way we maintain and develop the state of good repair for the rail system, and authorized the initiation of activity for the first segment of the red line. And at that time, mentioned that there were certain needs within the bus component also that needed rehabilitation and development of state of good repair. This is the first presentation in response to the needs in the bus component, and Dave will make a presentation that addresses the needs at Northern, Western, and Landover. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Couch.
Good morning. As a follow-up to what Mr. Rico was just saying about the red line contract, to give you a short status, we had a pre-proposal conference in this very room a little over a week ago. We've developed a significant amount of interest from contractors, and there were 139 contractor representatives in this room. We haven't seen that level of interest in our programs in years since we were doing the heavy construction. So we're being successful by the way that we're repackaging these into larger contracts with getting the interest back and doing our work. So that was good news that I just wanted to give you at the start. We're doing the same thing with the bus garage contract to keep us on a par with the bus system as we are trying to do with the rail system. And the purpose of this briefing is to walk you through what we're going to do and propose on our first consolidated bus system contract. Our current practice is as we have done on the rail side. It has been discipline specific. We would have contracts that might replace bus lifts or do work on bus washes or electrical equipment, more of a discipline specific. Smaller contracts around the entire system in all of the bus garages. What the new practice would be to go ahead and, like the rail system, group the bus garages. And as Mr. Requa had said in this presentation, in this first contract, the proposal would be to use Western, Northern, and Landover, and also pick up some of our ancillary facilities, the behind-the-scenes pieces like the Metro Supply facility and Landover Open Storage. So that's the new practice and the new sequencing. The approach on this bus one contract is we're looking at the three garages that just happened. Two of them happen to be the oldest two that are remaining on the system. Northern Bus Garage was an original trolley barn on 14th Street. It's now 102 years old, and Western Bus Garage is 99 years old up on the district and Maryland border. The youngest garage that we have, if you will, before we go on to have the Westock's facility in place is Landover, and that's 19 years old. So that gives you flavor for what we've got and the age of these facilities. There's a common scope between all of those facilities, and that's what's indicated on the next slide. It goes to replacement of some of the interior components with heating and ventilating, with compressors, with rehab of some of our facilities that really haven't been touched for our employees. It includes the items that were in the 2005 APTA peer review, which identified significant shortcomings and significant areas in all of our facilities that we really hadn't taken care of for our employees. So that's the commonality for all of the bus facilities. When you go to the specific garages, the first one is at Northern. The major portion there is the parking deck. We've had to go in and make several emergency repairs to that. It's a precast system. We have it restricted right now for loading, where only passenger vehicles can get in there. And it really is a system that has great deterioration. So that's the major different component in the Northern facility. At Western, it's a reconfiguration of the building. We convert some of the bays to full service, so that gives a better maintenance flow and a much better way to go ahead and maintain the buildings, maintain the buses, excuse me. At Landover, it's much less. It really goes in the direction of fire alarms, internal building components, doing things to replace the dispatch booth that's out at the front of the facility, and each one of those items in that way, much less because of the age of the facility. The other items that are included are really our backroom facilities, the Metro Supply facility, Landover Open Storage, and Blair Road, a series of smaller projects to try to keep the other maintenance facilities and bring them back really to a state of good repair, because many of our bus facilities are not in a state of good repair. The follow-on slides go through the cost breakdown of what is funded within Metro Matters, what the totals are. The funded portion that is there in Metro Matters for this portion would be $66 million. It principally comes out of maintenance facilities, or all comes out of maintenance facilities. Beyond Metro Matters, which is the Beyond 11, is what would be tailored as an option, which is what's shown on the next page. That takes you through what the base is for 9 and 10, in through 11 through 13, which has been referred to really as the tail of Metro Matters, the spend out, and then options that are beyond Metro Matters that have been included in the new 10-year program that Mr. Bottenheimer briefed to you several months ago. So we would have basically a base project that would be $66 million with options that could go to 82. We obviously would do things on a sequential basis so that we'd be able to complete work that's in the $66 million, not leave anything hanging in case the $82 million did not come to fruition. Program schedule takes us through this contract, and it shows the three sequential bus facility programs, with this as the first for the three facilities, then with Montgomery and Four Mile in the second, and then Bladensburg coming a few years out in the tail end of the program. So the recommendation, as we had gone through before in the red line, but not is not to initiate an award, but purely to initiate the contract and to go forward on that basis and to return to the board for permission to award the contract at a later date. Okay. That concludes the presentation, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. I think probably the discussion will center around the pages 17 and 18, and that is the funding source. Metro Matters provides funding for the repair piece here. And I think there's a question as to whether or not it is, as this contract, we should come back, then would be funded under the current Metro Matters. Is that so? And then the options would go out.
I believe that page 18 is probably the easier sheet to look at. We've talked about Metro Matters through FY10. and the $2.6 billion total for Metro Matters through FY10. That's what's included in the $10.9 million, if you will. The FY11 through FY13 is part of the payout, or the tail, if you will, that goes beyond, that's in the $3.2 billion. And then the $82 million is part of what is the future, the part that hasn't been dealt with yet, and the part that hasn't been funded or put in an existing program. That portion's there as an option so that we get pricing and have the ability to do it. But as we go forward and as the funding envelope is finalized and as the prioritization process is completed, then that $82 million might or might not be funded, and the priority might be changed so that that $82 million is spent on something different. So really the portion that is the lock-in, if you will, for this would be the $66 million.
First of all, let me compliment all of you on that side of the table. I think this is an excellent approach. This makes enormous sense in the same way as setting up the maintenance on the red line. It's made a lot of sense, the rail and bus. First of all, could any of this be accelerated using economic stimulus money?
I believe that it could from the standpoint of the funding. The issue will be, under the economic stimulus guidelines, you cannot replace existing dollars. So while these have not been programmed exactly yet for these projects, if the economic stimulus package does come, you could do these type of projects. But we do have a whole list of items that we wish to submit for the stimulus package. We have so many things to be done, but there's a whole list of.
I love that answer because it sort of lines up with the concern that I have. And as you know, I've never been a big fan of Metro Matters and the way it's structured and the way it ties essentially our hands behind our backs and doesn't let us do intelligent things. And essentially takes all the power away from this board and turns it over to any one of the jurisdictions so that if anybody disagrees, we can't change anything. The way I read Metro Matters is that it's very clear that you cannot spend the tail money on anything that you haven't obligated prior to 2010 or through 2010. And tables 3A and 3C lay out the facilities program for the years up through 2010. It isn't worth going to 3A and 3C, but those are the ones that do it. And this isn't in there. Now, the 9 and 10 money is. And we could go ahead and approve 9 and 10 and do 11 through 13 and the Beyond Metro Matters as options very easily. But I don't believe we're in a situation where we have the authority to approve the 11 through 13 money because it's got to have been on those tables 3A and 3C, which we as a board cannot change. So my concern here is what we're doing is the base and what we're doing is the options. I like the program, I like the structure, I like the approach. I just don't think we have legal authority to approve that $55.9 million at this point because it isn't where it ought to be and where it would have been right to be and where we as a board would have had the ability to move it had Metro Matters not been structured the way it is. So my suggestion would be, and this might play exactly into what you just said, Mr. Cato, that we approve 9 and 10, move all the rest into the options, and that then makes it unfunded, which means it's eligible for economic stimulus as well. And we could use economic stimulus money for that if enough showed up.
Just a question about the spending out of the end of the Metro Matters. Mm-hmm. So the tail, without the obligation, The Metro Matters described that we're not able to.
The way I read the tables that are there and the way I interpreted them when they were written, and I didn't like them when they were written, was that the obligation has got to occur, and that's purely the spend out of projects that were approved prior to that point, and what projects could be approved are shown on these two tables, 3A and 3C. And this isn't in 3A or 3C.
Let me try part of that. My recollection of tables 3A and 3C are that they're not divided the same way when you get from 11 through 13 as the earlier years are into individual components. There's a number that's there that's called a tail that is $490-some-odd million, is my recollection.
But that's the expenditure spend-out of what's supposed to happen in the early years, and you can see that in 4A.
But that is also, because of the way those tables are set up, it's the only place that it appears is as that tail number from 11 through 13. And it's not in the individual project items prior to that, is my recollection.
Nothing is in individual project numbers, but everything is in categories. And what you're looking here is the facilities category and how you could spend bus facility money. And what, essentially, if you look at the numbers on the earlier tables before 4A, the grand total of those matches the dollar number in 4A all the way out, including the tail spend-out. So what's contemplated is that it all gets done, all gets under contract by 2010, and then you do a spend-out for the following years, and the spend-out is just sort of the automatic expenditure of the rest of the money. And that's the way it was logically structured, and it made a lot of sense. And the only other thing that goes into that spend-out is the debt service.
I think what we'll do after this discussion is ask for some information, and then let me go to Mr. Jenkins.
Yeah, I too want to compliment the staff on the comprehensiveness of this maintenance and rehab effort over time. Mr. Benjamin mentions a scenario that actually sounds pretty attractive to me, in how we can maybe use the effort to get some stimulus funds if it's available. My question, however, relates to operations. Are we going to have any impact on operations during this period? And besides that question, do any of these facilities have capability for expansion and increased capacity, and in fact has the element of, i.e., what is our future growth needs for these locations, have been factored into the effort? In other words, I don't want to necessarily combine expansions with rehab, but it may be an opportune time to look at both at the same time.
Let me try each piece of that. Disruption to facilities during the construction effort. Landover and Western can be staged so that the facilities can remain in operation during the time that the work is being done. There will be some inefficiencies, but it won't be the point that you have to remove buses from the facility or do maintenance anyplace else. Northern is a little bit different because we're going to have to take apart the employee parking deck on the top of the structure. So we're going to have some complications there, and we need to look at exactly what we can do and how we can do to stage that. In terms of additional capacity, Western is pretty much, it's a site that doesn't have any room for expansion. The reconfiguration of the facility that we're looking at will make it more efficient from a maintenance standpoint, because it will not be the internal circulation, it will be exterior. Northern doesn't have any area for expansion. Landover has that potential, but it's not planned in any of this. The other piece of this is as we start to go back, and it ties back to the Red Line contract, we're able to get contractors interested on a larger scale because of higher dollar values of contracts. If we try to approach this with a contract that has a base of $10 million and then options that go to 130, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to attract those same contractors, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get the same pricing that we will be able to if it is the higher dollar amount.
Can I just ask a question about capacity? When we've chosen these, we have looked at the future expansions or most recent expansions we have at bus facility. When we had our earlier presentation, does this provide us the kind of expansion at these locations that overall affect the expansions that are needed? For example, the West Docks, we have the other bus facilities that are coming online.
Both of the western and the northern facility, because of the site size and configuration, don't have a capacity for expansion. Neither one of those even have the capacity, when we looked at it years ago, to be switched over to CNG facilities, just because of the site and the structures. The only one that does have any ability for additional capacity is Landover, and that really would be, from a constructability standpoint, you can do more. It really comes back to what's the service needs at that point.
If I could just add, I think Landover has a capacity of about 240 buses and is able to take that on now if the need was to arise and some movement of training facilities were moved out of there. The other two garages are capacity. I think Western's in the 130 to 140 range, and Northern is, I think, maxed out at about 175.
Mr. Linton, then Ms. McKay.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. A couple questions. One, you have several variations of contracting vehicles here, or you have design bill, you have bill, those that are built, that will be built based upon some design work that we have already done within the facilities, and we're asking contractors specifically.
As we transition to this, because of the fact that the program was previously structured on a discipline basis, we have some designs for some components that have already been 100% completed that previously would have been bid out as discipline contracts as a conventional IFB. In other cases, we know what the changes are. We will take it to a certain level of preliminary design and then include it in the design build format. And then the third piece of it with the job order is really the pieces that it doesn't make sense on the front end to do a complete design. It may be paving change out. It may be things of that nature. So, Mr. Linton, this is really a hybrid contract is the way that we're approaching it, so that it will have different methodologies for accomplishing the work, depending upon exactly what that work is. It's the same thing that we're doing on the Red Line contract. And as we progress into the second and third generation of these contracts, then we'd anticipate for more of it to be on a design build and a job order format and less on a conventional 100% design.
And part of that question relates to, and I think it kind of builds on the questions that Supervisor Hutchins was asking in terms of, have we anticipated what our future is going to be, because we don't get the opportunity nor have the resources to do this kind of extensive work at our garages. You mentioned some of the garages, they have constraints because of location, land, structure, and without tearing them totally down, there's not a whole lot you can do. But even within that context, there's some new ways in which rehab and bus work is being done. There's more efficiencies that are done. There are new techniques that are being done, new technology that's being applied. And some of that's kind of moving into where things are not just today, but will be the next 5 to 10 years. Have we kind of factored that in as we go through this work to make sure that if there are new ways that gives us more efficiencies on maintenance with our maintenance operators, have we factored that into our design so that we can take advantage of that?
We've looked at that, Mr. Linton. Specifically, one of the items that's here for the northern garage is to extend a couple of the service bays so they can be utilized to service articulated buses. It'll be different lifts and a longer section to be able to do that. In each one of these facilities at Western and Northern, they don't have the ability to be converted over to anything like CNG. So, yes, we've tried to take those into account as we've gone through this.
How about for training, oversight, any way to measure our performance or maintenance? And I'm trying to find some ways that we can build in some efficiencies in the process as well, and to make sure that we have checks and balances, that work is being done. We have some filing system of the accuracy of the work, the appropriateness of the work. I mean, I know there have been new ways of doing maintenance and production that have been applied in the private sector. That gets you more efficiency, on-time delivery of parts, inventory, applying that requires less hands-on in terms of the operation of the maintenance. And very often, those type of techniques have not been applied in the public sector. And just that, you know, we get a chance to make sure that we examine that as we go forward with this major investment. Just question.
Mr. Luton, I think that certainly from a rehabilitation project, we will certainly look at all of those things, work with our maintenance department, with the bus department, to make sure that any new approaches to maintenance, parts, storage, et cetera, will be incorporated into a design and into a rehabilitation. Also, I have to mention from a square footage standpoint that, you know, 40-foot buses are now 42 feet long. 60-foot buses are now 62 feet long. So the buses themselves, from a square footage standpoint, are actually getting bigger rather than smaller, and we have to incorporate those into the parking facility as well as to the maintenance space.
And that's why it's just as important that we be more efficiency within the limited space.
I appreciate
because
that.
The buses are expanding.
Absolutely.
Then we have to be more efficient on how we do inventory and filing parts and how we apply that. So it's a very systematic approach.
Director, I absolutely agree. And in fact, we are in the process of evaluation of a changeover, how we that delivery of parts and how we distribute those parts. As you know, today, all of our parts come into a centralized location. That's one movement, and then we have to distribute them out to the various locations. The private sector does not do it that way. Parts come directly to the outlying locations, and you eliminate an entire process. And that is something that we're currently not just reviewing, but we're going through the process of how do we do that.
Mr. McKay.
Can you remind me which of these facilities you mentioned do not have CNG capability?
None of the three.
None of the three.
They don't have the capability, and only one would have the potential to be converted to CNG. Because of the site constraints for Northern and for Western, there isn't the potential to convert those. Landover would have the potential, but it has not been converted.
I mean, I think that, you know, for me at least, that's a major factor, because we've seen the charts about bus performance, and we've seen what's happening with some of the hybrids, and we see what happens with the CNG buses, and I think, you know, to tie our hands with possible future expansion of CNG capacity might not be the wisest thing. That's just my opinion. But how does the potential Royal Street bus garage fit into this entire equation?
It doesn't. There's nothing in this program that does anything with Royal for this first contract. Royal would be in a later contract if it were to remain in its current location.
But if it were not to remain in its current location, and the new location was well expanded beyond what is at Royal Street today, how does that fit into this equation? That's maybe more the question I'm asking.
There's obviously, if it is in a different location, it can have a higher capacity and maybe CNG capability. And because it would be a new facility, then you wouldn't have to have it in this early program to do rehabilitation. It would be just like West Ox, and you don't do anything, for the most part, major to a facility until you're 7 to 10 years in, when the early equipment life cycles start to run out. So that's the timing that you would have.
Okay, so you don't see, though, that particular project impacting the necessary timing of any of the rehabs that are in today's presentation?
No.
Okay. Mr. Allen?
Warren, thank you. So I was wondering what efforts Metro has made to look at joint development opportunities for both Northern and Western.
Planners will probably, Matt, do you want to speak to Matt Bottenheimer? I think we'll speak to that.
I'm trying to get you up here, Matt.
About 4 years ago, we advertised both Northern and Western garages, and the basis for both of them was either that the economics had to support a replacement of the garage on site with whatever was privately developed, or a developer would need to come in with a replacement garage location somewhere else. And we didn't get any proposals that were either economical or that provided alternative locations.
So that's 4 years ago, you said?
That's right.
So here's my issue, and I think I really do commend Metro for trying to address life and safety issues at both of those facilities. but between Northern and Western, it's going to be an expenditure of about $100 million on just those two locations, if I'm reading the request correctly. It seems to me that further exploration, particularly at Western, of joint development potential is warranted at this time. Northern, I think, is a little bit more constrained than Western, but certainly I would love to encourage Metro to provide some further study of the joint development potential at the Western bus garage.
Happy to work with you on that. I think the assessments that we've made about the expandability of capacity at Western are based on the existing site that we have. I don't think in the past we've explored the potential to combine that property with surrounding properties, other than to make it possible to do a below grade replacement. But there's just a tremendous amount of surface parking in that area and a tremendous amount of redevelopment potential. So that's got to be able to provide some kind of support for an expansion.
Yeah, and then at Northern, if I can continue, Madam Chair, I know that Nat knows this, but there's been a significant, well, not a significant, but there's been some interest from the development community recently on that site, particularly for retail. I personally don't think it's a good site for residential, but others do think so. But I think it represents a good potential site for retail development in the part of District of Columbia that really could use it. So I'd love to encourage Metro and the board to take a look at maybe joint development potentials at both sides, with Western perhaps being a priority.
Yes.
I don't disagree. I think there are opportunities for joint development, but the reality is we've been talking about it for 20 years, and we haven't done anything to these two facilities. I think Western has the best potential. I do. And we could go back out and seek go back into the market to determine if there are people who wish to participate in a joint development project. Northern, on the other hand, has situations that it's on the verge of collapse of the parking structure, and some work must be done unless we have some type of package very quickly. The issue becomes, even if there is a developer from the standpoint who wishes to purchase the Northern garage and gives us a good offer, is that we do not have land to build a new facility. There is the possibility of looking at DC Village, should that deal work, to expand that facility to a larger facility that can accommodate Northern, but it will require some additional deadhead. We can look at those issues and bring back some proposals, but some work, I think, has to be done. And I can make that commitment that we will look, but I still think we need to request the board from the board for some upgrades to the facility in the interim. And if something comes through, then we won't do it.
Madam Chair, I totally agree with you, Mr. General Manager. I am not suggesting that we put off doing the necessary repairs to the building, but I don't want us to invest excessively in those two facilities when there is potential opportunity unexplored. So that's all I'm suggesting.
I think you're opening the door for there to be where possibilities lie for joint development. But I think one of the concerns here not only is the ability to move forward on the capital improvement part, but also where will be the replacement if there is a successful one. The choices for bus facilities is not broad in the region or in specific jurisdictions.
So, but I'm not even suggesting that it has to be a replacement site. I mean, I think you could reconfigure Western in particular to accommodate your bus needs right now. There are other properties that the district owned adjacent to Western, and other properties that are privately owned that could be put together in a way that gives Metro all that it needs for its facilities and still allow development. On the Northern bus garage, as I said earlier, it's a little tougher. One of the things that we would love to do as a district internally and working with Metro is examine the potential for expansion at DC Village or other sites that are underutilized in the District of Columbia, so that we can as I said earlier, provide some well-needed retail opportunities in Upper Northwest DC.
Okay. Is there a motion on this?
I'd like to move this item with a couple of changes, if I may, so that there is no question about whether or not it does comport with Metro Matters. And again, my kudos to all of you. You guys did a really good job in putting together what makes a lot of sense in an approach. And I think what you said about this being initiated with a ward at a later date is good. I do believe that we can certainly move ahead with fiscal years 09 and 10 consistent with Metro Matters, and we ought to do that, and take 11 through 13 and move those into the option years. Because I don't think we have the authority to do that. I do believe that Metro Matters is fairly clear about that. It also gives us much more flexibility for economic stimulus funding.
I second the motion.
And one more thing.
Thank you.
Item note 2 and item 2 under note 2 is included in the approval document that we have. I'd like to delete that for the same reason that I deleted it several times before in other documents. And for the reason that I explained before, I really think Metro Matters as structured was a mistake. And what you're looking for under item 2 is a repeat of Metro Matters and putting us in the very same bind that's causing us this problem today. And we need to move in a different direction. So I would also delete note 2 both here and in the final document. So the document that you bring us and the board needs to be adjusted for the funding to make sure that it's initiation only, to include items 1 and 3 under note 2, delete note 1. And in that form, I would move it, and there was a second.
I'll second, Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Zimmerman is speaking to the motion.
The motion. Just to be brief, I agree with much of what Mr. Benjamin said. I support the motion. The last point he made, his views on Metro Matters, I take that to be something that is to be debated when we get to the question of a successor. We all agree there should be a successor. How it should be structured is something that needs to be discussed. I don't necessarily agree with the conclusion on that, although I'm open to the argument, and I look forward to that.
Mr. McKay.
I was actually going to make that same point. I don't want anyone to think that we don't know that we need a successor plan. I mean, I don't want us to eliminate that and eliminate the idea that we will have one. So that I share Mr. Zimmerman's same concern.
May I amend my remarks then, just so people understand? I agree with both of you. I don't say that there shouldn't be some mechanism for funding beyond 2010. The mechanism that we created last time, which is really what's being referred to here, is what's tied our hands in doing what I think makes sense in this and in other projects. And I think that's what I don't want us to do.
Mr.
He's asking, continuing asking for a debate on this issue when we shouldn't have one, but you keep pulling, you keep going, digging that hole, Mr. Benjamin. Metro Matters was a negotiated document with the jurisdictions, and even though from a Metro-specific standpoint, we may in fact think that we didn't get all of what we wanted in terms of have control over our program, we were working with funding from other jurisdictions who also wanted to have their say as well. So sometimes our view does not necessarily represent the negotiated view. And as we go forth with our next plan, that also would have to reflect a negotiated view where the jurisdictions who cough up the dollars would also want to have a process that actually gives them some say in how things go forward. So it's where you sit that determines your perspective on the negotiation and how successful it's been.
I think I hear agreement as to where we need to be going on this item. We're not talking about how we're going to structure the next agreement.
Yes.
Mr. Albert brought in a point, and I'm going to ask if what he was asking is that we not preclude opportunities for joint development.
I'd probably frame it differently.
Okay.
I'd probably ask that the board recommends to Metro, to the general manager and his staff, that they aggressively do joint development opportunities at both Northern and Western.
Okay. Is there a question? None. The motion is.
Is that, that's a motion?
No. We did it.
It's a recommendation. Okay.
Could be turned into a motion.
Well, I would have to amend your recommendation to the staff if you were going to do that.
You're not going to have it.
he's not moving it, I know he would.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't I move it as a motion, that...
You'd like to amend his motion to include?
To include an aggressive review of joint development potentials at both Northern and Western.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
No, here one, okay. I'll accept Mr. Berry's. Okay, any question?
Speak to the motion.
To the Linton amendment to the amendment.
I would just like to propose, and this is maybe an amendment to the amendment, that any efforts to do to expand or to examine a joint development does not interfere with the operational needs and the priority of these projects going forward. In light of the fact, I remember when I was the administrator and we did something with Western, and that's going back 10 years ago, and that was something that we had discussed at some point when we were doing these platform things at the rail station. So it goes back a ways, and some of these projects need to go forward. Timeliness of it is some urgency.
Such that the, is that a considered a friendly piece to that?
I take it as a friendly.
Okay.
Then I understand the request that, along with the motion we have on the table, direction be given to staff to explore development opportunities at these bus facilities, subject to caveats that Michelle had stated about operations.
Well.
And I would suggest you ask if there's unanimous consent to that guidance being given as part of the motion.
And state, is there unanimous consent? Does the maker consider that? Yes.
I have no problem with that.
Okay, and the second. All right, so now we have motion. And the motion is to move forward with the adjustments made and Mr. Benjamin's and the direction to the staff. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? I want to thank everybody. This is really something that we have a lot to talk about because it moves us, I think, significantly forward in terms of our good repair. And this is a structure that I think will serve us well.
Appreciate the
all
support.
Thank you very much.
We need to go immediately into executive session.
Right,
so as soon as you bang that gavel.
That's right. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Calling the board into order right now, and I move that the board meet in executive session, discuss labor matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6C, contractual issues consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6D, safety matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6F, and legislative strategy consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6H. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Thank you. We're in closed session.